Land Use Committee meeting to order. Present are Council President Hartley Nagel, Councilpersons Bell, Street, Weiner, Woods, Holland, Smiley, Cartier, Diller, and I'm Janet Kilpatrick, co-chair of Land Use Committee, and Anthony DeFiore is my aide taking minutes. We will start with...
With a motion to approve the previous minutes?
Motion to minutes.
Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
And moving forward, Resolution 17-165, this is Councilman Bell. It's a plan for Whispering Woods, St. George's 100, south side of Boyd's Corner Road. 3,300 feet east of Summit Bridge Road, major plan to construct an age-restricted open space subdivision consisting of 67 detached units and 111 attached units for a total of 178 units on 114.53 acres of S zoning. Mr. Bell.
You just said it all, Madam Chair.
Thank you. That was short and sweet, wasn't it?
We have representation here, both the applicant and counsel. For the applicant, so if you would please, as the chair, I'd like to call on John Tracy and his entourage here.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman, members of council. The description offered by Ms. Kilpatrick kind of covered it all. This is a 114 and a half acre parcel located on Boyd's Corner Road, zoned S. This is an age-restricted community, so there's obviously no impact on schools. We're part of the Southern New Castle County TID, so we'll be contributing to improvements in that area. The community will be served by a clubhouse located centrally as you come into the community, a clubhouse and a pool. Obviously, access on Boyd's Corner Road. We're about a half mile from the intersection here, as you can see, with 301, 896. Mr. Weiner, as you always ask, there is a transit route that runs down Boyd's Corner Road. There'll be sidewalks throughout the community, and we'll be connecting as part of the planned multimodal path that DelDOT will have running up and down Boyd's Corner Road, serving the different projects that you find along there. So with that, happy to answer any questions. By right, no rezoning. There were no variances needed as part of the project.
Mr. Bell, would you have any comments?
Just the one thing on... And you'll be hearing me say this more frequently in the future, and I think we need work with our planning and our land use department, is that, you know, many times we hear when these plans are presented about certain amenities and clubhouse or pool or playground, and I think it behooves us to not only as part of our land use process and planning, but encourage developers to provide and roll out some of these amenities much sooner than what a lot of them are doing today. And I'm not saying that that's the case with this, but we've got so many new communities where folks move in and they're promised either a clubhouse or a playground or something. In many cases, their children are growing up and going to college before the playground is put in. And we have, I think we've got some real good products that have been built in this county where the signage is put up front, the proper lighting and the various plannings and things. You know, there's some real model communities. But I think we need to, as a council and land use, to start focus on when things are presented as far as this is an amenity. Let's not wait till all these folks up in nursing homes rather than a senior community before their clubhouse is done.
Maybe we can put that on an agenda for discussion with land use to see if it's not already in the code that at a certain percentage of the build, the amenities have to be in, started, whatever we might come up with.
We'd be glad to do that, Madam Chair, and Rich Hall, General Manager of Land Use. And just by the way, we can certainly talk about this more later. I know you're behind schedule. There are changes contemplated, what we're calling Phase 2, the UDC update. And so just as Councilman Bell talked about, some kind of issues are drafted in there. So this
good.
Is something we're still drafting, but very much enjoy coming back to spend more time with you all talk about that.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Anything, Mr. Smiley?
Yeah. 111 attached units.
Mm-hmm.
One question, and I've said before, I'll be bringing this up to each one. The attached units, will the deed restrictions in our purchase agreement provide for, I don't know whether you want to call it trespass agreements across access, whatever, in order to be able to maintain their property.
It's a standard, standard part of the homeowner association doc, homeowners association documents when you have attached housing, is to have those types of provisions in there. I put them in all the ones that I've.
They may be in yours, but it's not standard, because I'm the only three communities with the issue now, where they don't have access. As a matter of fact, one came out and threatened a roofer, because he needed to step on that side of the roof to replace shingles on another roof, on a townhouse situation, so.
It starts with party wall reasons and expands outward.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions from council? Any comments or questions from the public? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the job creation. I see you replaced your easel.
Resolution 17-166. This is in Council District 2, Mr. Weiner. It's a plan of Crooked Billet, Christiana 100, south of the intersection of Route 141 and Route 52. Major land development plan that proposes an open space option 2 subdivision containing 7 single-family dwellings, an age-restricted open space subdivision containing 19 single-family dwellings, and 2 single-family lot to maintain an existing historic dwelling and associated outbuildings and S zoning. Mr. Weiner.
Thank you. This is as described. I want to give kudos to our community leadership at Westover Hills, to the Tarabicos team, and to the builders, the Deucen team. We put countless hours in over 2 years reformulating this historic parcel to be consistent with community character, respective of the historic property where George Washington and other historic figures stayed at this historic inn. This is a little known history, but with the vegetative buffers and the setbacks and the plan is respective of all of the elements in our unified development plan listed in community characters. So I won't steal the thunder except to say I'm pleased to have played a small part in this process. And with that, I'm happy, Madam Chair, to turn it over to the applicant and his representative.
Thank you.
Afternoon, Madam Chair, members of council. Michael Hoffman on behalf of the applicant. We also have our, as Councilman Weiner mentioned, we have our project team here as well. Tim Deucen and Woody Dries of Deucen Construction, and then Keith Rudy, our project engineer. This has been a labor of love. As Councilman Weiner had mentioned, it has been about a little over 2 years that this project has been in the works. It is not a rezoning, it's a major subdivision plan. It's actually three separate plans within one overall plan. But there's been a lot of community engagement, and we've ended up at a very sensitive and respectful plan to the various competing factors. I will try to be brief given our time, but just to walk council through, this is the site over here. It's about 28 acres nestled. It's a single parcel nestled along Route 141, Kennett Pike, Route 52. This is Westover Hills, Section C, and you have the Christiana Care Pelleport Center over here. Zooming in, you'll see that it is a single parcel that's used as a private residence with the stables and pool, tennis courts, horse use and equestrian uses abound. This is the perspective view along Kennett Pike. You'll see this area classifies as a young forest, creates a buffer between the site and Kennett Pike. And then when you go into the Westover Hills Section C community, this is Kent Road, a quaint road lined with London plane trees and a distinct character. This is the home Councilman Weiner had mentioned. It dates back to the 1700s. It has historic significance and character. Used to be an inn and a tavern when Kennett Road ran in front of it. But when Kennett Pike was moved in the early 1800s, it then no longer was utilized as a tavern and an inn. And it was purchased by the DuPont family in 1864. And it was actually owned by the DuPont family since then, when it was sold to my client about a year ago. We did go for the HRB as a review of this plan. This is a barn that's on site that we're proposing for demolition. It does not, it's not historically significant. There have been a number of modifications through the years that takes away from that historical value. This is the back end of the barn. These wings are part of the additions that were added later on. One of the things I do want to highlight as part of this process, as Councilman Weiner had mentioned, there has been a lot of community engagement through this process. This is actually a slide that I presented to the Westover Hills Section C when we had our meeting back in February 2017. But what's also not included here are our interactions with the Kennett Pike Association. But what's notable here is that these aren't just community working group meetings of a select few. These are actually broadly noticed public meetings where we are soliciting and receiving broad public comment. So I think the effort here is really something that's commendable for the applicant and is something to be proud of, and it led us to a very good plan. Speaking of that plan, this is where we currently sit. I had mentioned it's actually three separate plans within one. One is the preservation of the historic home. It's about 3.5 acres, which is a single lot that provides access off of Kennett Pike. The second piece is a 19-lot, 55-plus community that takes access off of Kennett Pike. And the third piece is about a 6.5-acre parcel or a subdivision that has 7 lots taking access off of Kent Road. We worked with the Westover Hills Section C community to develop deed restrictions that gives Section C the authority for architectural review of these homes to ensure that there's a character and consistency, as well as a provision for services for the maintenance of that community. We also did have to receive variances from the Board of Adjustment that we originally proposed a through road at the request of the community. That was just a cul-de-sac. We are providing an opportunity for emergency access in the event of an emergency, but otherwise it's a cul-de-sac. Because it's a cul-de-sac, we required a subdivision variance from the Planning Board. We did receive that. The variances from the Board of Adjustment were to allow this accessory dwelling unit on the site, which we believe is a Sears and Roebuck home. So there's also a little bit of unique history there as well. And it's also to allow it to be a flag lot. And then as far as with Kennett Pike, again, because Route 52 is part of the scenic byway, we did require variance to allow this entrance within the 50-foot scenic buffer. Just some quick renderings of some of the cottages in the 55-plus community. You can see attention to detail in terms of sidewalks, different material, and whatnot. Just very briefly on the entrance, in our meetings with the Kennett Pike Association, there was a lot of interest in preserving this viewscape, and particularly along the scenic byway. So this is the rendering of the existing. This is what we're proposing. We did have to widen the entrance in order to accommodate the development, but we're maintaining the general look, and they're using materials and landscaping to really create an attractive viewscape along Kennett Pike. This is actually pretty cool. Ellen Tracy prepared this for us. This is the anticipated year one view, and then in year five, this is what we expect. And then in 10 to 15 years, or 15 to 20 years, rather, this is what we expect. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Weiner.
Yes, would you please opine on the transit orientation and walkability, both internal and external?
Absolutely. I apologize, Councilman. We do have sidewalks along the Kent Road homes that we are providing as part of this plan. Sidewalks on both sides of the cul-de-sac in the 55-plus community. In addition to the emergency access, there's also going to be a walk that is going to be with pedestrian easement that allows pedestrian access and interconnectivity, in addition to the walking trails throughout the site.
Aren't there two other paths that go between lots, both northerly and southerly?
Correct. So you'll see here that goes into this walking path, and there's also an easement here that allows the public to utilize this area. And then there is, I believe, right here that you can see the walking.
I'm very proud of that. Bus service, is there bus service on Route 52?
Bus service on Route 52, yes.
There is. I knew the answer to that.
Stone Gates, right?
Yes. And thank Kennett Pike Association and other residents for fighting to preserve our bus service when DelDOT was quick to want to cut us off.
Any other questions from council? Mr. Cartier.
Thank you. First of all, let me just say you've done a great job protecting the great historic resource on this site. The old structure that used to be a tavern. Is this also called the Windley Farm?
The Brindley Farm.
Brindley, excuse me. Yep. Brindley Farm?
That's correct.
Okay. you're now planning this project next to an existing subdivision, and one of the things that I am always concerned about is, you know, stormwater runoff when you go next to existing communities. So if you could describe what stormwater you're going to provide on this plan.
Certainly, Councilman. So one of, in kind of carving this up into the three separate quote-unquote subdivisions, this subdivision for the seven homes actually has a stormwater management facility back here. This provides stormwater management for this 6.5 acre area here. In addition, you have the 19 homes, which has stormwater management facilities here as well. So in accordance with the regulations, where we cannot make stormwater worse than it exists, we are accommodating that and providing specific stormwater facilities for the various elements.
The challenge for these residents going forward will be, I'm glad you're complying with all the applicable codes and regulations, but when you have stormwater facilities on small subdivisions, sometimes that presents some issues, but I think they'll be better equipped in most areas for that.
And Councilman, it's if I may, it's a good point. And just so you know, we do have, again, in carving up the site, there's a maintenance corporation for this element. There's a maintenance corporation for this element. So all of that will be noticed, and they will be well aware of that responsibility, including the financial responsibility when they purchase the homes.
Any other questions from council? Any comments from the public? Yes, Mr. Benda.
My name is John Van Zuysen, president of the Kennet Pike Association and co-chair of the Brandywine Valley National Scenic Byway. I want to commend Tim and his team for reaching out to the county. He has addressed every one of our concerns, both in the rear of this property with Westover Hill C, but particularly at the entrance as well, where he's gone above and beyond the call of duty to landscape that and preserve the view from our national scenic byway. So our organization supports this development, and I would commend it to council.
Any other comments from public? Not? Thank you so much, Mike. We're going to move on to Resolution 17-167. This is to rename the apartment complex known as Allendale Apartments, tax parcel number 09023-00034, a 242-unit apartment complex located on the south side of Ogletown-Stanton Road, approximately 2,000 feet west of Harmony Road, to Allendale Village Apartments. This is in Councilman Tackett's district. He asked that I just run this for him. Any comments from council? It has gone through all the normal 911 approvals. Any comments from the public? Thank you. Moving on to Resolution 17-168. This is to rename the apartment complex known as Autumn Park, tax parcel number 11017-20110, located on the north side of Four Seasons Parkway and approximately 900 feet west of South College Avenue, Pencader 100, to Spring Crossings. This also is in Mr. Tackett's district. Any comments from council? Has gone through the normal 911 vetting. Any comments from the public? Thank you. Moving on to Resolution 17-169, plan of colony at Summit Bridge East, Pencader 100, east side of Summit Bridge Road, 500 feet south of Porter Road. Major plan to construct an open space subdivision consisting of 74 single-family homes on 59.66 acres with an S zoning. This is in Mr. Power's district. is there an applicant here for this? Mike. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of Council, Mike Hoffman again. I'm pulling double duty here today. This is the plan for colony at Summit Bridge East. We have our project team on this project as well with us. We have Dan Stewart of Cal Atlantic and Jim Curran, the project engineer. This is a proposed major subdivision off of Summit Bridge Road. The area sounds or looks familiar. It is across the street from the colony at Summit Bridge West planned. that was approved by council back in July of 2015. This is the site here. It is about 60 acres of land. It is proposed for development for 74 single-family detached homes. In the original iteration, way back when, there was proposed two entrances off of Summit Bridge Road. Through multiple conversations, that was ultimately pared down to one entrance, and then the plan was ultimately massaged to what you see before you today after input from the neighboring mansion farm farms HOA community and the Department of Land Use. A couple of key things to point out. There is a single boulevard which is tree lined and landscaped to provide traffic calming features that provides interconnection to the mansion farm community. We have pedestrian interconnection as well with sidewalks on both sides, as well as a 10-foot multimodal shared use path. As far as transit facilities, Councilman Weiner, those will be continuing conversations with DelDOT as the need arises and emerges along kind of where those facilities go on Summit Bridge Road. But it is noted as those conversations continuing. One of the, it's actually interesting, if you look to the landscaping, a lot of attention and care has been put in terms of where the landscaping is. One of my favorite examples is here, where you have this road coming over here. There's a heavier landscaping to account for any headlights not going into the homes over here. So in terms of traffic calming, in terms of aesthetics, in terms of functionality, there truly was a great deal of attention to detail provided here. This is, again, a by right plan, no rezoning. I'm happy to answer any questions.
And just this, correct me if I'm wrong, but this gives Mansion Farm a second entrance.
Correct.
And they are between, sandwiched between what, Caravel Hunt or one of, and this new development, and this new development, this new road coming in mimics their other entrance with the boulevard and the trees. Am I correct?
As far as that boulevard and the trees, I don't know that. I do know that the this is their existing, you have this boulevard which ties their entrance down the Howell School Road here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's to the degree of landscaping that we're providing, but the idea was to be able to provide a thoroughfare and a second entrance for those communities. That's correct.
Okay. Any comments from council? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Review and discussion of ordinances, we have none. Anything under other? Mr. Weiner.
Yes, I would just like to thank the Tarabacoas team for tabling the Delaware National Planning Board hearing presentation for September 5th. I have a dozen civic association leaders waiting to meet with our land use department and Tarabacoas team right after this meeting, along with you, Madam Chair, since Delaware National straddles our districts.
Right, and we'll have to see about that because we are so late and I have one more meeting that
very
I
good.
To go
and
through.
I just want to pick a bone with Councilman Sheldon. He had told me when I inherited this district, all the problems were already resolved.
As far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
you know.
Okay. Now I get it.
And let me just do some housekeeping. Councilman Sheldon did join us midway through this meeting. Any public comment? Can I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. And can I, before I take a vote on adjourning, can I just say that we truly need to put on the agenda someplace about replacing these chairs, because this one makes a creak, that one makes a creak,
oh,
and
those
several
chairs.
Others
yes, yes.
That I
confused.
Think we need to discuss.
The
seating.
The ones who are sitting.
All in favor of adjourning.
I think I sit in those chairs. Yeah. You know, they're all heavier.